serving Jesus. Would you agree with that? In order to agree with that, you've got to serve. And it's been a pleasure to be able to serve the Lord over these many years. I'm not the smartest guy in all the world. I don't have a lot of the education that some people have, but you know what I do have? I have the joy of the Lord, and I have the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth. This morning, I want to encourage your heart. I got here early. I do like to get up early every morning and pray. Well, I got up early this morning, and I drove to Otterbein College because, according to your history, about 60 years ago, some men at Calvary Bible Church were praying to establish this ministry, and they went to Tower Hall. By the way, I've never been in Otterbein. That was not easy to find, but I found it. Okay, you had to go. People were looking, why does this guy keep driving around? But I found it. I got out, and I stood on the lawn where I believe Pastor William Ashbrook and his men stood, and I prayed for this service. I said, oh God, you established a ministry through the prayers of God's people. That ministry has lasted 60 years and hopefully 60 more years to the faithfulness of your word. And what I want to share with you this morning is something that the Lord's laid on my heart as even at Fayette Bible Church, we go through transition. By the way, we're always going through change. Who likes change? Nobody. No, change is hard. Change is not easy. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ began to change the moment he came to earth to change people, right? There's change in the Lord Jesus Christ in everything he does because he wants to change my wicked heart. He wants to change the direction of my life because he knows that when I try to do things in my own strength, I fail miserably. But when I relinquish that power and I say, God, here am I, use me. Here am I, send me. Then God does marvelous things. And the Apostle Paul, if you turn to 2 Thessalonians, maybe you're there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul challenges this church at Thessalonica in Greece, in modern day Greece. And he challenges them, I want you to stay firm because I want you to understand a couple of things. And we're going to look at those few verses, 13 to 17, and really just challenge our heart very quickly about how we stand firm. Then I'm going to start my message. In chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. It won't be long, but then Paul gives God's desire for his church that goes on. And Paul's desire for this church at Thessalonica to say, now I want you to continue. You stand firm in this, and then you look forward to this. And I think of Westerville Bible Church being here 60 years, faithful, shining a light in this community. Not only in this community, but throughout the whole world, through missions, through Camp Peniel, through other areas. And as I look out, many friends. It's wonderful to be here because I come before friends. I come before those that I've served beside, and I know that they love the Lord. And can I tell you, and can I echo what Pastor Hamilton said? The years of ministry are before us are great. In fact, can I say this? I believe they're greater than the years of ministry that are behind us. Because there's great potential like we've never seen before. Now, there's a greater battle in some aspects. But can I tell you, as the end of the age comes, God desires his church to move, to stand, to interact, not just to be. I have people that just want to be. I tell our people at church, don't sit soaking sour. Be active in the work of God. And so as we look at this, I hope this will be an encouragement to your heart. Let's pray, ask the Holy Spirit to help us, shall we? Father, thank you for your love to us. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to be raised again. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice, for redeeming our souls. Holy Spirit, thank you now for leading us and guiding us into the truth that we need today. Holy Spirit, I pray this morning that you would reach into our hearts, into our minds, that we would know thy truth. Thy word is truth. and that your holy word this morning will reach past our prejudice, will reach past our stubbornness, and find a heart that is humble. Find a heart that can be molded into your image, and that we would willingly run to forgiveness. That we would willingly run to consecrate our hearts and our lives to Thee. And that we would willingly rejoice in Your truth. And that we would glorify Your name, even this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you look at chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 13. The Apostle Paul here is speaking, and he says this, interesting, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. I thought that was interesting as he says, we are bound, or we're under obligation to give thanks for you. This morning as I was driving up, I wanted to give thanks for this ministry. I wanted to give thanks for what God has done through the years, starting with William Ashbrook that had a vision, Pastor Bixler that took on the pastoral responsibilities in that beginning in a house and living in the first part and in the basement. They had ministry. And then for Pastor Hamilton coming and the other pastors that have come and served and the elders that have come and served. I'm so thankful that you're willing to do that. And I'm obligated to say thank you, Lord. I'm obligated to come alongside and lift up. Are you lifting one another up? Are you lifting one another in thankfulness? And he says, I want you to stand firm in your thankfulness. And he does. And he says, always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of truth. Boys, I look at that verse. God has given you, and Pastor Smith said it so well, God has done salvation for us. There is no way we earn salvation or can have salvation. That salvation is complete, past, present, and future. God has given us salvation, but that sanctification, that growing in grace, is something that we say we need to say, God has chosen us to grow. God's not chosen you to sit and just listen to good words. God's chosen us to grow, and to grow we exercise that faith. We exercise that love. And as I look around, you've done that through the years. And it's been marvelous for me to be able in Washington Courthouse to look up and see the faithfulness of other churches. Can I tell you this? Over the years, it's been an encouragement to my heart. We're not alone. There's other ministries that are striving the same way we are. And that's an encouragement. And I want you to know, we're thankful for you. We're thankful that there's a voice that is the same voice and to hear the same thing of the truth of the Word of God. Verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel, the gospel, to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether therefore ye eat or ye drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And the Apostle Paul here says, you're called to the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, to glorify His name throughout all the community. Throughout everywhere we go, do we proclaim the gospel. In the church today, I believe the one thing that we miss, we do great at teaching. But we need to do a better job evangelizing. We need to do a better job of reaching out into the hearts of young people. And that's why I believe so strongly in Peniel Bible Camp. And I believe so strongly in other camps, Three Sevens Ranch out in Utah, where they use the horse to reach Mormon kids for Christ. And we've seen great work in both these ministries to see not only young people come to Christ, but families come. This past year, we had a young man that came to know the Lord as his personal Savior. His name was Parker. And Parker came to know Christ as personal Savior. And then his dad, later on this summer, called me. And I was able to lead him over the phone through saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He has now since moved from Utah and moved to Colorado because he got kicked out of Utah. You know why? Because there was a gospel message, there's a gospel thrust that you need to be born again. And a lot of our Bible churches and the churches that we are associated with, boy, they have a great teaching ministry, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. But you know what I would trade? Some evangelistic fervor to say we want to reach people for Christ. We want to go out and talk to people and say, this is what God has done in my life. This is what God is doing in my life. And the Apostle Paul says, look, whereunto you're called by our gospel to obtain his glory. Do you know what glorifies God more than anything else? A lost sinner coming to be saved. Somebody that doesn't understand what Jesus Christ did for them. And through the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, they come and they understand that they're a sinner and they need to be saved. And they ask Jesus Christ to come in their heart and save them miraculously. Christ saves them and redeems their soul. And it says the angels in heaven rejoice and give glory to God. Are you active in pursuing a neighbor for the Lord? Are you active in pursuing someone to give the gospel? You can't save anyone. Boy, the Word of God can. The Word of God can through your testimony and through your work and through your love for the world, the people of the world. Do we love them? Paul says in verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions which we have been taught, that you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle, whether by what we say or what we have written unto you. He said, I want you to understand you stand fast by what you know to be true. And by the way, this is what we know to be true. We know God's word is true. We need to stand firm on the word of God in a loving way, in a gracious way. But here I stand, I can do no other. And we need to know that, but we need to share it. Then he says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us. Don't ever forget the love of Christ. Why Westerville Bible Church has remained in this place is because of the love of Christ. It's just the love of God. God that loved you and that you loved God back, that's why it remains today. Don't forget that. And as God has loved this ministry, so we ought to love one another. And as we love one another, we will bring other people in because people in this world are searching for true love. Because all they're getting in this world is lust, not love. And when Christ loves them with an everlasting love, it changes everything. And Paul says, you stand firm on this. The church at Thessalonica, which had all kinds of difficulties, to which he hath loved, and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts, he says. Establish yourself in every good word and work. Establish yourself in what you say and what you do. So vitally important. Washington Courthouse is a very small community. It has been a thrill to be able to raise my family there, to go there. If I walk down the street, you know people. And people know you. And they really know you. I've had kids that graduated from our school, and just the other day, I wasn't speeding. I had a policeman pull me over, lights blaring, turned on the siren, came up to my window and said, Pastor Garen, I was just kidding. It's Alexis Rosado, by the way. Don't do that. But you know what? You are known. And your vehicles are known. But you're a testimony in town. When I go into shops in Washington Courthouse, they know who I am. Not because of anything else, but I want to share with them the gospel. They'll come in and say, okay, what do you need? Why? Because we're involved in the community. We're in parades. We're in everything we can get in to show the love of Christ. And yet so many people say, oh, you can't do that. Can I tell you something? God says, I want to comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word that you say and every good work that you do. And we will do good work and do good word in our community for the grace of God, for the mercy of God, for the truth of God. Listen, once people know where you stand, it makes it a whole lot easier. It makes it a whole lot easier to go forth and say, hey, we want to do this. And again, I think that's an impetus to the church today. Be involved in people's lives. Go make sure that as you're going, are you inviting somebody to church even today because you are out helping them rake their leaves? We live in a world like this. It's my time. I'm busy. I need to get this done. Aren't you glad Christ didn't do that? He didn't. He went into the highways and byways. He ministered to the most miserable people, yet to the most glorious people. And are we doing that? And Paul says, I want you to stand firm in these things. And then hear the Apostle Paul. Now we're going to turn to the sermon, okay? Here we're going to turn to chapter 3 because the Apostle Paul changes and he says, finally, it really wasn't finally because he has a lot more to say. It was, I've got more to say. But that word being finally means I've got more to say. But notice what he says, because he has four desires for the church. And I believe these four desires for the church are four desires that Fayette Bible Church needs and that Westerville Bible Church needs desperately too. We need this. And I don't think we do this as well as we ought to. And in fact, the Apostle Paul, as he writes this, says, I want you to understand what we need. And he says, let me tell you some more. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for me, Paul. It'd be amazing that the Apostle Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, one that I believe probably knew the Pentateuch by heart, he wrote the book of Romans, and it's used in college campuses to teach law. A brilliant man, and yet he was so humble. He said, I want you to pray for us because we need your prayers, because we can't do this in our own strength. We can't do this in our own personality. We can't do this in our own thought processes. Pray for us two ways, that the word of God, the word of the Lord, may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. That the word of God will be so powerful in our lives, Paul's saying, that it has glorified, will glorify God as it has glorified God in your heart and in your life. Isn't that amazing that the Apostle Paul turns that around and says, you pray. Are you praying for your pastors? And I don't mean a simple prayer. Lord, help Pastor Hamilton get rid of his cough. Sounds horrible, by the way. Pray for him. They'll have strength. Are you really praying for Pastor Hamilton that he will speak the words that you need from this book? Don't pray just let him have a good sermon. No, let him preach the word so it convicts and convinces my heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need men that pray. That's why I went to Otterbein this morning. I wanted to see for myself what happens when godly men pray. 6 months they'd started and said, we want something. We need something in the community of Westerville. 6 months. They stood in Tower Hall. And each man, according to what I read, prayed. I don't know what they prayed, but I know they prayed fervently. God, if you want to work here, you establish this work. And in November, God established this work. After men were constantly praying, and Pastor Bixler came and prayed, man of prayer, man of dignity. When I first came, I scared to death of him. Because he looked like, cluck. I thought I was going to be sent to a room. But he was that man that loved God. He was that man that was going to tell you the truth, whether you liked it or not. And hearing these godly men preach and these godly men come, I look at that and I say, oh, are you praying for them? Are you praying? You see, we don't pray. Even the people that walked with Jesus the closest said, Lord, teach us to pray. See, they understood how powerful it was to pray. And yet the church today, we say a few words and we think it's good. Whereas I read some of the revivals and some of the things of the Puritans, they prayed for hours and hours. So I don't know what to pray for. That's because you don't know how to pray. I get up early to go over to the church to pray. And I wonder sometimes, have we lost that? Finally consider, pray for us. Not that we become big, but that we become small and Christ becomes big. Are you doing that? Look at the second one. Verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Wow. All men have not faith. I wonder, he first asks for success of the message and word and the messenger. But then he says, give us safety. That we may be delivered, rescued, saved from perverse, literally the word means out of place people. It's the only time in the New Testament it's used of a person. Out of place people. Over the years of 35 years of ministry, there's been out-of-place people in our church at Fayette. They're out of place. They come and they want to change things. They change directions. Scripture says they're perverse. They're out of place. They shouldn't be there. Paul says, oh God, deliver me from out-of-place people. Doesn't mean those people should not be in place. They should. But sometimes people come and they're out of place. And Paul says, you, God, deliver us. You pray for us and you deliver us from unreasonable and wicked and perverse men. For all do not have faith. All do not have accepted, or all have not accepted the faith. Some refuse the faith. And Satan, that great wicked one, would desire to destroy. And many times Satan destroys from within. Some do not have faith, but, look at verse 4, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. Don't forget this. He says four things. First, pray for us. Second, deliver us. Thirdly, help us to be obedient. You see, Paul's desire for the church was be obedient to God. And our obedience is only through the faithfulness of God. Not through our own strength. I had to learn that. I'm one that likes to work. I'm one that likes to get out of my way and let's get it done. Okay? Pouring concrete was a great learning experience for me. Because sometimes you have to wait on concrete. You have to wait till it gets to a certain consistency. First started concrete, man, let's get on it, let's get it. When it's wet, it goes real smooth. And you have to wait till it dries, and you have to get back on it. And you have to wait. The hardest part I had was waiting in between, because there's a certain amount of time you should wait. Because if you don't, it just takes more and more time, and you waste your time. Here, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. My message this morning is on the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness in allowing us to pray, the faithfulness in protecting us against perverse people, but also helping us to obey. He says this, who shall establish you and keep you from evil, or the evil one. He said, God is faithful to direct your path. God is faithful for you just to surrender and then go. And do what God tells you to do. In verse 4 he says, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you. We have confidence in the Lord of what he will do with you. Because it's not of you, it's in him. Ye both do and will to do the things which we command you. He said, there are commandments in this book. Love one another. Pray always. There's commandments in this book that he says, I want you to do these things. And most people say, oh, I can't do that. You're right, you can't. God never intended for you to do it in your own strength. God always intends you to do this in His strength and His faithfulness. Faithful is He that calleth you who... Okay, I know Pastor Hamill doesn't do this. I do. Faithful is He that calleth you who... Yeah, also will do it. Do you believe that? Do you believe God will... The work that He began in you will continue it? Surely you do. Because He's done that here to faithful few that said, God, you began this work and you'll be faithful to continue this work. And He has for over 60 years. And He will do it for 60 more years if we're faithful. And standing in the gap and speaking His word and His truth. And not allowing ourselves to get in the way. You see, that's that confidence we have in the Lord. Finally, verse 5, with this I'll close. Here's the fourth desire. So he had a desire to pray for your leadership, to pray for one another. He had the desire to help against perverse people, to protect perverse people. He had the desire for you to obey in faith and trust in faith. But finally, in verse 5, he says, and the Lord direct your hearts. Spiritual growth. Lord, direct your hearts into the love of God, into the patient waiting for Christ. As I look at that verse, that the Lord would direct my heart to the love of God. Why do I do what I do? Because God loves me. You can pull everything else down, but it's because of the love of God. Why did God the Father send His Son? For God so loved, right? Why does He love you when you make a mistake, when you sin? He says, I'm faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness when you confess your sin. Why? Because I love you. What do you do with something you love? What is it that you enjoy? With someone you love, you'll do things that you never thought you would do. Right? For someone you love. And Christ has done that for us. So I come back to this verse and I say, God, direct your hearts into His love, for you will spiritually grow. Because the more I love something, the more I want to know about it. We have an older man in our church. His name is Jim Hammond. Jim Hammond loves trains. He's a fanatic, okay? Drives me, I love you, Jim. Drives me crazy. He wants to talk to you. He gives me train magazines. I'm not a train person. Don't want to be on a train. But he says, look at this train, look at this engine. He tells me everything about this engine. And then he went to Colorado to ride on a train. He drove to Colorado to ride on a train. I went and drove to Columbus to ride on a train. But he loves it. That's what he loves. That's what I just cherish. And he says, look. On Christmas, he gave me a little train car. He always looks in my office to see where the train car is. Because he loves it. How much do you love Christ? Because God loves you that much. God wants to talk about His children all the time. See my servant, Job. Have you considered my servant, Job? You know why? Because God loved Job. Huh? But look what Job had to go through. God showed His miraculous power through Job. Though they slay me, Job said. You know why? Because God loved him. God loved him and picked him out of all people. And Satan said, I'll get him to deny you. Not Job, because Job loves me. How much do you love? You see, if I love God, I'll obey Him. I will strive for Him. Into patient waiting for Christ. Steadfastness. Staying the course. Folks, I congratulate you. for 60 years staying the course. As you travel around, and as I travel some more than I have in the past, I appreciate more churches like Westerville Bible Church that haven't strayed from the biblical mandates of truth. The world is changing before our eyes. And the times, can I tell you, the times of persecution for the church are coming to America. And it's going to start very quietly. It's going to start in our state house, by the way. And there are going to be pressures on the church. And they may take away certain things that the church is getting now. Will you give up then? Because it's coming. And yet, as you and the Apostle Paul says, I want you to stand firm on these things. My desire is that you pray. My desire that you be delivered. My desire is that you'll be obedient. My desire is that you spiritually grow. And that you say, yes, Lord, I will grow in these things. But it's going to take an effort together to do that. It's going to take an effort for us to say, you know what? I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that, not Pastor Hamilton's able, okay? Not Pastor Smith's able. Not any of the elders are able. But God is able. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded He is able to continue what He started here. And to continue that. But you have to have the foresight to say, I will not move. I will not stay away from the pure Word of God. Doesn't mean different. Doesn't mean we can't have chairs instead of pews. By the way, we need to talk about that fan. But this is not wrong. But preaching the Word of God truthfully is what matters the most. May we always do that. May you continue to do that here at Westerville Bible Church. May the Lord bless you. May you honor God in all these things. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing me to come today. What a privilege it is. Lord, you are everything. We are nothing. Lord, as we look at the ministry that you have raised up here in Westerville, we're so thankful. Thankful that your name has been raised up high. So thankful that even through difficult times, we come back to your word and stand on truth. May we always do that. Lord, may the desire that you have for these people, that they would pray for their leadership. That they would pray for Pastor Hamilton. And I mean, really pray. Lord, that we would pray against those people, those perverse people that want to try to destroy, that with love and grace and mercy, we'll stand up and say no. Lord, may we be obedient to thy word. May we be obedient to thy truth. Our desire is to walk in obedience to you. And may we grow spiritually in your love. May we grow to love you more each and every day. And may we do that by arranging our life after your will, not our own. We thank you for what you have done, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.